Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
If you're going to cast your lot with somebody, you need to know yourself maybe a little bit better, but most importantly, you need to know the laws in your state. Some people get married, they don't even realize that, like, in a state like California, that means half of everything you make is going to be hers or his. Most of my actor clients take direction very well. Like, you have to really walk them through it. There's a lot of times that I'll write an email for them that they can then, you know, make a little bit more their own and send, but they definitely want a little bit more direction. My artists, like my musicians, are way more emotional about things, and I have to kind of handhold a little bit more for them. The breadwinners, whether they're male or female, really want to make a deal because they know that they're paying for everybody. The supported spouse is generally the one that feels like he or she doesn't have much to lose, and we have to explain to them, yeah, you do, because you are spending money that would otherwise be going to you or your kids on lawyers.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by attorney, author, and family law expert Laura Wasser to talk about the difficulties of divorce and why it should be easier, along with the common issues that people face and how sex plays a role in it all. Topics include, so if marriage is a walk in the park, then why must we jump through all these hoops to get a divorce? The main reasons people separate and how it all comes down to one thing. Communication. How often sex issues break up a marriage, and it happens more than you think. And what we should all know before walking down the aisle, because a marriage is a lot more than just a wedding day. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com for even more awesome sex tips that we update it every single day. And find me Monday through Friday on SiriusXM Radio. I'm on from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on channel Stars 109. And you can get a free trial if you go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. Find me on all social media. It's at sexwithemily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Laura Wasser. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All right. I'm really excited for my guest today. I have attorney Laura Wasser. She's an author, entrepreneur, family law expert, founder and CEO of the online divorce platform called It's Over Easy. Now, let me just say this. I always said, why is it so easy to get married and divorce takes forever? Why can't we make it easier? Well, Laura is now making it easier for you guys. It's an online service that basically makes divorce a hell of a lot less stressful, so it sucks less. Speaking of sucking, she has a podcast, a weekly podcast called Divorce Sucks, which I loved being on a few weeks ago. And you have represented some pretty big people. Ryan Reynolds, Angelina Jolie, Maria Shriver, Khloe Kardashian. I fell asleep listening to your podcast with Khloe last night. I'm like, it's amazing to me. All these lives that you've been in, your bestseller, 2013. It doesn't have to be that way. How to divorce without destroying your family and bankrupting yourself. You launched your podcast last year, which is really successful right now. So congratulations to that.
Thank you.
Can you first just talk about your own journey a bit? How you got into, like, why family law? And
my dad is a family law attorney. So I thought I would never follow in his footsteps. In fact, I didn't even think I'd be a lawyer, which is kind of a joke because my parents named me Laura Allison Wasser. My initials are law. I fought it so hard until basically I was graduating from college at Cal. And I was like, well, what else am I going to do? Because I'm certainly not going to go to medical school because I didn't have those kind of grades. So I was a rhetoric major in college. I went into law school. I still never thought I would be doing matrimonial law. And I got married the summer before my final year of law school. I had a big wedding in 1993, gorgeous, okay, whatever, but I was 25 and so was he. And we were clearly too young to be married. So about a year after, while I was waiting for my bar results, I said, okay, this is probably not working. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. And we were the perfect candidates for It's Over Easy. We didn't really have anything. We had some debt. But even as a first year associate filling out those forms by myself, and I'd been to law school and English is my first language, I was like, wow, this is really difficult. Yeah. Why does it have to be so difficult? And that's why people get lawyers, because it's a totally emotional time. It's so scary. And then you've got all these forms and you don't understand them and you're sure you're going to be doing them wrong. And this is the next chapter and you have to make sure financially you're covered and your kids are covered. So it's super scary. Anyway, I did that. And in doing that, I did it at my dad's firm. I said, can I work here for a while until I get back on my feet? And I never left, because it's a really interesting field of law. Like you said, you get to know all kinds of people.
Yeah.
You touch their lives. You get in there for like 6 to 12 months and then you're done. And so all of these people who like told you everything,
like they have to,
everything about sexual proclivities, cheating, dreams, you know, every financial issue that they have that they would never share with anyone. Hey, I lease a Porsche, but I really can't afford it. Like every month I'm scraping to make the payments or whatever it is. I know. And then poof, after it's done, they're done. I'll like run into them in a restaurant and we're kind of like, hey,
Hey. You know, it's like, almost like you're the therapist. You are kind of part therapist, because you're also like, let's get back to this.
Right.
But because they probably break down at your table sobbing.
They do.
Sure.
And I say like, do not ask me. I am a hot mess. I have two kids with two different guys. Like I don't know about relationships, but what I know about is the most financially reasonably sound way to move on to the next chapter. And I can do that no matter how much money you have or how little money you have. And so that's why I started It's Over Easy. After practicing for 25 years, I was like, this message needs to go to more people. We need to change the way people approach divorce, because it's not over easy. It's so sad. It's so difficult. But that shouldn't play out in your financial and business transaction as part of getting divorced.
So essentially, It's Over Easy is making it easier so you won't get caught up in all the financials as much.
Like, yes.
How,
Yeah, I mean,
what about negotiating?
You negotiate with your spouse on your own time frame if you do need help. If you hit a wall, like you just cannot figure out who's going to have Wednesday nights, we will refer you to a mediator that you can go pay separately, whatever, and maybe then come back to the table and do the rest of it. The problem is there are so many different moving parts in a divorce, and if we can't get through them simply, if you tell people the law and you explain it to them, they generally can do it themselves. I mean, it's not a huge mystery.
But no one's ever taken the time to figure out, like, this is so smart. What a brilliant business decision.
Not when
you're
making $900 an hour. Why would anybody try to figure it out and make it simpler?
No, it's smart, though, for what you do. I think I love that. I want to get back to that in a minute. But first, I have to say this. 25, you got divorced. Now, one of my things, and I've been saying this for years, like, I don't think anyone should get married before they're 30.
Right.
I think we barely even know ourselves then. Right. And even then, I know a lot of people who still don't, and they're in their late 30s, 40s.
So 50s.
Exactly. Right? You say that. We're all figuring it out still. I'm an expert in second. I'm still figuring my life out. Right? So, but when it comes to relationships, like, what have you seen? First of all, do you think that's true? Do you find a lot of people, like, they just should not have gotten married?
I think it depends. They shouldn't have gotten married under age 30. I don't know that we could regulate that. I would sure love to see people have more counseling beforehand. Like, you know, that line from Parenthood where Keanu Reeves is like, you know, you need a license to fish and you need a license to drive, but any butt-reaming asshole can become a parent. It's that all over again. If you're going to cast your lot with somebody, you need to know yourself maybe a little bit better, but most importantly, you need to know the laws in your state. So many people get married, they don't even realize that, like, in a state like California, that means half of everything you make is going to be hers or his. People don't know that.
Right, exactly. So we're all the early start, the dopamine, the love hormones. We don't care about anything.
Right.
It's all going to work out because I'm madly in love. But have you found, when people are sitting in your office, like, do you feel like there's certain types? Or like, do you get them right? Like, I know when someone calls into the show, I'm like, oh, I know exactly right. Your drama, your history. I know why you're dating this kind of person.
Yes.
Do you feel when they walk in, you're like, I've got this?
Yes.
And what are some common, like, archetypes, would you say?
Well, it's interesting. I feel like most of my actor clients take direction very well. Like, you have to really walk them through it. There's a lot of times that I'll write an email for them that they can then, you know, make a little bit more their own and send. But they definitely want a little bit more direction. I definitely think that my artists, like my musicians, are way more emotional about things. Like, I'll really have to explain things three or four times. And these are broad generalizations, right. But those guys are the ones that are a little more emotional, and I have to kind of handhold a little bit more for them. And it's interesting. Male, female, I don't necessarily see as many trends, but I definitely see trends in the breadwinners. The breadwinners, whether they're male or female, really want to make a deal. Because they know that they're paying for everybody. The supported spouse is generally the one that feels like he or she doesn't have much to lose. And we have to explain to them, yeah, you do, because you are spending money that would otherwise be going to you or your kids on lawyers fighting over things that you may not care about. It's not just a bottomless pit. So let's have a finite number here and then come to it.
Oh, God, it's a lot. So, and you do deal with a lot of celebrities. How does that, is that just kind of what the firm you're in? How did that happen? How did you become that person?
Well, as you know, I mean, living in Southern California, almost everything somehow touches the entertainment industry. So you're like the celebrity realtor or the celebrity dentist, you know? So the celebrity divorce attorney, I guess, falls that way. I think when I started practicing, I was probably almost 10 years younger than most of my colleagues at the time. And I dressed young and I spoke young. And so I would get a lot of referrals for young people in the entertainment industry, young actors, young musicians, young athletes, because their representatives, whether they be agents or business managers or entertainment attorneys, would go, oh, she's good. She'll speak their language.
Right.
She'll get it.
You
and
get
so
it
came from that.
And growing up here too, you're not like in awe, like, oh,
no.
Look, it's Angelina Jolie. You're like, okay, let's get your divorce
exactly.
done. Right. So a little more kids and more money going on, but it's all the same. It's a
it
divorce.
It's the great equalizer,
It is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so what are just some of the common issues you see? I know it's a really broad question, but for example, I remember hearing a few years ago that, like, in 8 out of 10 divorce cases right now, Facebook came up in the transcripts.
There's a lot of social media. I mean, there's a lot of social media and there's a lot of online stuff. I mean, people will find their spouses, you know, having full on online relationships. They've never even met the person, but whatever it is that they are not getting from their marriage, they're kind of putting into the computer to this person out there. People do online dating, even when they're married, that whole Dolly Madison, scandal that happened. So that's a lot. But again, as you probably would agree, that's not the underlying problem. Back up to what are they missing in their marriage that that causes them to, whether it be online or just going to a bar and meeting somebody and hooking up, what's happening? Where's the disconnect there? And that's age old. And so people probably don't do enough work to figure out how to communicate. And instead of resenting and shoving stuff down, actually talking about it, working through it. And then there's also people just grow apart. If you get married when you're 25, the chances are you're going to grow up and determine who you are. And it may not be the person that grew with this other person. So I don't know that human beings are really inherently meant to mate for life.
Yeah.
I believe we like to be families. I have my family. I have my tribe. I have the two dads to my two kids. I don't know that either one of them would want to be with me for the rest of their lives either, but we sure do all have Thanksgiving together, and we sure do come together in a crisis and in times of celebration, and I have their backs, and they have I just lost my mom 2 weeks ago. Everybody was there at the funeral. They've checked in every day. They're making sure I'm okay. I'm part of their family.
Wow. Well, sorry, thank you for showing up today. It's not easy. Wow, I didn't know that. And that is, I'm with you. I don't know that we're supposed to mate for life. I don't see many cases where it actually works. But what we can do is start talking about these things right away in the relationship early on.
Like, yes.
Talk about everything, because you're right. It's not about the fact that you had a Facebook affair or you met someone at a bar. It's more about these resentments that have built over time because you didn't talk about it 10 years ago. And you can't even go back and unpack what it was because so much more shit has been piled on top of it.
Yeah.
And now we just hate each other.
And you want to recreate who you are and represent who you are to somebody new, not the person that already knows all the shit. And so you do that. Whereas, hey, if this is a person that you actually walked down the aisle with, made vows to, had kids with, maybe start there.
Exactly. So how much do you see sex as a role, play a role in these things? Like maybe they had different sexual proclivities, or they weren't having sex. Like, does it come up a lot?
The weren't having sex comes up a lot. Yeah. I think people that experiment, have proclivities, they usually do okay because they are having some kind of communication, some kind of intimacy, even when things go horribly, horribly wrong. Oh, let's bring a third person in the relationship. And then they're like, whoa, that did not work out. No. We did not like how that felt, or I didn't like how it felt, particularly since you're still sleeping with her or whatever it is. Those are less likely to show up in my office than the ones that go, I don't know what happened. We haven't had sex. I mean, and I will ask as one of the main questions, like, what's going on? How many kids? How long have you been married? Are you in therapy? And I say, what's your sex life like? Because so many people will say, not good. We haven't had sex in like 2 years. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How is this just come, you know, or I can't believe that she's cheating on me. Really? When was the last time you had sex? Well, like 6 months ago. Well, believe it.
Where do you think you're going to go get it? Right. Even at the refrigerator's been empty. Where do you think they're going to go eat?
Exactly.
You weren't putting food there. You weren't cooking the whole thing. So is there ever couples that come to you and say, actually, the sex is amazing, but we can't get along with anything else. We still want to have sex.
Yes. It's interesting, like you said, that first meeting, watching. Remember, I don't usually meet with both couples unless I'm doing mediation. I mean, both parties. I'll meet with one or the other. But there are some that will say, the sex was never the problem. Sex is fine. That wasn't the problem. But our communication with regard to other things is the problem. And I've had people that I can't get a finite date of separation, which is a big deal in California, because that's when you actually stop the clock running, when you stop having to split proceeds from, you know, projects, when you stop having to have a clock on spousal support, because they keep sleeping together. And that's one of the indicators of whether or not a person is a complete, irreconcilable, irremediable break in the marriage, but they're still having sex all the time.
So what happens? So do you think that, like, have you seen couples like, well, we're actually going to get back together, we're calling this off?
I see people get back together. I see people get back together because that chemistry is so amazing. I see people work out other things. Okay, we're not going to get back together, but we really still like dating, or we like hooking up with each other, or whatever. It's rare, but it does happen. Right. And I'm like, go for it. Why not?
Whatever works, right?
Exactly.
Do you ever see people who are like more, are they open to like more alternative relationships since you've been doing this a long time? People, I mean, I don't know if they get into it with you. I guess I'm the one at the dinner. People are probably, you're at the dinner party and they're like asking you about like divorces or their specific.
How can I hide my money?
I'm how like, do I hide my can't. Money? Right, exactly. But people are like, oh my God, how do we get our sex? So I'm hearing like we opened it up, or we're in open relationships more and more than I did before.
Right.
Like 10 years ago or 5 years ago, even people were like, there's no way. I couldn't imagine my partner. All those people are freaks. They all have ponytails. Or like hippies. I mean, no, actually people do open relationships and it can work.
And it can work. But again, I don't see those people.
See
I've heard
part.
About it too. I think it's fascinating.
I do too. I think it makes, I mean, if you have the right communication,
right.
Because maybe we're not meant to mate forever. I don't think we are. What about this concept of starter marriages? Is that still a thing? Do you think that people just getting married younger and that they're getting it over with? They're like, I kind of knew it. And then they're getting afterwards. They're
I think with the advent of more working women, I think we're seeing that less. I think that it was always our culture raises, particularly girls and young women, to get into a relationship, start dating seriously, get that ring, plan the wedding, have kids. I mean, still, no matter what we've all been through with the women's movement, that's still somehow like embedded into our brains. But I definitely am seeing more women kind of taking control of their financial situation, and many of them going like, I'm not in such a big rush to get married, particularly since I'm the breadwinner here. I'm totally cool just living with you, because the idea of having to pay you spousal support kills me.
This is what I'm seeing though now more and more. And we see this in all the studies that everyone is delaying marriage and they're not rushing right into it, which I kind of think, I think that's really smart for us to wait.
Yes.
I think that we're not seeing, we're realizing like we are the breadwinners, women. We don't need it as much.
We don't need it. But again, we live in a bubble. I think
we
that, that New York and California are a bit more bubbly
right.
in that way. And I think that the rest of the country, you still have people going like, this is, my eyes are on the prize. My prize is I want to graduate from high school or college and I want to get married.
Right,
I want to have
right.
that wedding.
That's true. And I still meet people like that, like my assistant here. She's like dying to get married. 32. She's like, what? Like obsessed with the, she wants to be on The Bachelorette. You're right. We are in this bubble, but I still think that it's smart to, you know, it's really good to get to know yourself before you jump into marriage, no matter what age it is. Speaking of whether they end or people stay together, what I love is in listening to your podcast, you said something in the beginning about how we look at divorce as like it's this horrible, I mean, it sucks. Divorce sucks is our podcast. But also, it could also be like a new chapter. It's an evolution. It doesn't
yes.
have to be this horrible thing in the sense of the way you look at yourself. Like, I'm a failure.
Exactly. And that, I mean, again, even if there are people who are dying to get married, I have nothing against marriage.
Right.
What I have a problem with is people who completely burn down the house when the marriage ends. You got married. Look, I love that I got married. I think everybody
yeah.
should like have
Try
that
out.
White dress moment. It was beautiful. I was 25. I'll never be thinner than I was at that point. Like, it was great. Got great pictures. And I'm glad I did that. And I'm glad I had that relationship. When it was done, it wasn't like, oh, it's done. Yeah, it was sad. Like any breakup is going
right.
to be sad. And if you have kids, it'll be complicated. If you have a lot of assets, it'll be complicated, but work through it. I agree with you. That's why we have It's Over Easy. That's why we created the Evolution of Dissolution, which is
the Evolution of Dissolution.
Trying to get people to approach divorce differently in our culture, because the fact is so many people go through more than one significant relationship or marriage. We can't, when we only lived until we were 30, it made sense.
Right.
We're living until we're 90, 100. It doesn't make sense anymore. And to enable to have our kids be healthy, well-adjusted individuals, for us to be healthy and well-adjusted, you have to be able to say goodbye to that relationship, move on, not burn bridges, not burn the house down, and then restart, reset, new chapter, new relationship. It actually, if you think about it, if you're a human in your 90s and you've had like three or four significant relationships, love affairs, relationships, whatever, aren't you like a more interesting like person to listen to in the old age home?
Yeah,
like, don't you want to hear her
you're
story?
You're the one with the sex story.
Yeah.
You're the one who's had the interesting things. You're absolutely right. We're just not, we're still catching up to it
yes.
too.
And it's
like,
taken
oh, yeah.
a really long time. We are still in family law dealing with the same issues that, like, I don't know if you remember the movie Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes.
Or whatever. So Noah Baumbach has a movie coming out called Marriage Story. It's the follow-up, I mean, his life
right.
to The Squid and the Whale, which is like really documents kind of his own childhood divorce story
yeah.
and so many of us that grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
So now this is kind of the next phase. And
oh,
I'm really excited to see it.
I'm
Scarlett Johansson, Adam Driver, Laura Dern, and I think Alan Alda.
Okay.
They play the lawyers and then Scarlett and Adam are the divorcing couple. And it really, you know, we're talking about it more. He spoke to a lot of people about their experiences. People are afraid to talk about it. It's like so taboo. And unless you're actually getting divorced, you don't want to have anything to do with it.
Exactly.
We're putting it out there. The same way you're putting sex out there, we're putting divorce out there.
You have to. So, right. So 50% of marriages we say end in divorce, which I think, which is true, which is to
still
me.
Still accurate.
Like, I was like, not a great stat.
Right.
Like, don't sign me up for it. Like, until we figure out how to work it. I'm not really ready for it. But you just took me back to Kramer versus Kramer, which is came out in 78, which was the year I think my parents got divorced. So I'm like sitting in there in the theater and I just remember it was like, okay, at least I'm not alone, right?
Right.
Because we still didn't know yet, but we still, these days, you're right, we aren't talking about, it just is like, oh, they got divorced.
And they're
What's
having the
hush?
Same issues
the
and
same
attorneys,
issues.
And again, I'm not you know, casting aspersions on any of my colleagues, but there is a little bit of weirdness about the fact that we're still having the same arguments, writing the same briefs, talking to the same judges, or even new younger judges about the same things. Why should it be that that the kid shouldn't have access to both of his or her parents? Right. Why should only the mom have custody and then the dad comes over on Wednesdays, takes you for a fast dinner, gives you too much caffeine and candy, brings you back home again,
exactly,
or has a sleepover?
That's exactly what was my life. It was right. Thursday nights, though.
Makes no sense to me.
But is that what they're saying? Because what I think, and this is my question, I feel like now that it's mostly 50-50.
In California. But I have people that I've spoken to, because now that we're national.
Right, all my friends are divorced from California.
With It's Over Easy. And even in California, I'll have moms come to me and go, well, he's not getting 50-50 custody. I mean, he totally slept with somebody else. I'm like, well, that doesn't make him a bad dad. It just makes him a dick. I mean,
right,
like.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So how, because I think it makes so much more sense that you, of course you should. I wish I, when my dad died too, when I was 19, it's like, I wish I had more than Wednesday nights.
Yes.
So what is it now? Tell me about how It's Over Easy is changing that for kids and for the parents. So it's a healthier experience overall, because I think that's what you have done in your own relationships,
right,
and helping your clients. So tell me about that.
A lot of it's education. We have an entire content section that has people writing articles, whether it's mental health professionals, financial specialists, people telling you, here's how it's going to look, here's how it could be best, here's what's best for your kids. If you sit, so many people say to me, how do I talk to my kids about telling them we're getting divorced? We've got like 4 articles about talking to your kids about getting divorced. We have 4 or 5 articles, how to deal with your ex, how to deal with a crisis with your ex. If your kid, if you, one of your kids gets caught vaping or smoking pot in school, or the kids going away to camp or having anxiety issues, you guys are the parent. You still have to be a united front and tell this kid, we are here for you. We are your family. We love you. That conversation about, hey, we're splitting up. So many kids, it's crazy to me, because this was not my experience. Right. I don't know about yours. We're like, I wonder if it's me.
We blame ourselves.
You got to tell your kids, like, no, this is not about you. This is about us. And it's not even so much about us. We just hit this point and we're still a family. We're going to be living in separate places. We have each other's backs. We're all going to do stuff together. If anything ever good or bad comes up, you come to both of us. We're going to talk about it. How is that, after all these years since Kramer versus Kramer, not evident?
I don't know. I mean, this is okay. So in looking at your site, so people can go there and say, like, how do I have the conversation? You provide all of that.
Yes.
All of those resources. That is so friggin' smart. So did you work with therapists or with counselors?
Yes, I wrote a lot of the articles. And then because I've been in this business for so long, I know a lot of people. So I'll go, hey, write me an article for my insights blog about how to sit down and talk to your kids.
Yeah.
And then also, because now we've been up for a while, people will write into us and go, I had this horrible experience. Can I write about it on the blog? So we have one that's called Co-Parenting with an Asshole.
Yeah,
and that's about what it is. I can't be so Pollyannish, like everybody's all going to get along. There's going to be jerks out there.
Or you just did a podcast on the narcissism.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it happens. So it do you do now? Because if you really can't meet in the middle, now what do you do? How do you handle it the best way possible for yourself and for your kids?
So that's really, I mean, I love that it's like a one-stop shop for it, because really people are calling me, how do I have the conversation, or
right,
what do I do, or what's right? So it would make sense. I mean, I think this is brilliant.
And then it also has what we call the index, which is kind of, so you can go on, get content, read about things, watch videos. You can actually do all the forms, fill them out and get divorced. And then we've got the index, which is a directory, a provider directory for anything that you could imagine before, during, after getting divorced, whether it's something as, you know, in-depth as, hey, I really need to find a new accountant or I need new health insurance that's not available anymore through my spouse's employer, to I'm getting back out there and I'm dating. I need help rearranging my closet. I need help. I need a spray tan.
Right.
I'm going on my first, you know, dating app date. I need a spray tan. Here's the spray tan person. They're the best ones.
On your site, on
this
Silver Easy.
Yes.
I mean, right now I'm looking, co-parenting with an asshole.
Right.
Can I lose child for smoking weed? Which I get this, everyone's terrified.
We just did the weed podcast yesterday with my friend Alexa Steinberg, who is a cannabis attorney. And so we talked about all that stuff. No, you can't. But you could if somebody called Child Protective Services. I mean, the law is the last thing to change. So it's not illegal in California after Prop, was it 64?
Yes.
But still, you could have a judge that looks at you and goes, yeah, I don't think you're a very good parent. You left those edibles lying around. And even though she didn't pick them up and eat them, not so good. Or you did get pulled over for driving while smoking, because you're not allowed to do that. And so now it shows your judgment's not very good, and I'm not going to let you have the kids.
That's, oh God, maybe 10, 10, 10, 10. TED 10 talks that anyone considering divorce should watch. I love that you're giving this all this information on here. This is amazing. I'm just looking at the blog. I did not know this. So then what happens is if they go to It's Over Easy, right, and they can start the process, but throughout it's almost like you're holding their hand with like the articles and things. Yes. There's someone online, they can reach out to someone for help. Yes. Or for a resource. Yes. And so what are some of the things, so in doing this process, are you saying now, because we are all about like, it's an evolution and why shouldn't we all be great parents? And, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow with her whole conscious uncoupling. Yes. And I do, like, even my brother got divorced from his wife and they are in Michigan and they do the 50-50 thing, but they're a block apart. It's a really great divorce. We all go out together and celebrate everyone's, you know, my niece's graduations, but that's not the case for everybody. How does It's Over Easy kind of encourage it? And people are like, he's an asshole, he did this. How does it do by, you know, you just recommending?
First of all, recommending and also showing by example. Like, yes, your spouse cheated on you or your spouse has a gambling problem and gambled away all your money. So it's going to be hard to be like, hey, we're a united front. We love each other. Whatever. You can still hate his guts, okay? But until you're able to kind of let go of that, you don't have to get back together with him, but you have to be able to co-parent with him. So many people come to me and go, can I just make her go away? No, she's not going away. If you have kids with her or you have some kind of a partnership financially, she's not going away. So let's figure out the best way of dealing with her. Not even because of your kids, because of you. And here's what I say mostly to my women clients, which is if you have that anger frown, you're going to look ugly and old sooner, and then you're not going to want to date anybody else. They're not going to want to date you. So if it gets down to just pure aesthetics, yeah, that's one of the ways. You don't want to hold on to that anger.
Not the ugly frown. Right. Now I heard what you're saying. Right. Yeah, no, it makes sense. But then I would feel like with you, you're coming in, you're hearing everything. To get them out of that space, sometimes you must be like, okay, is your therapist appointment next? Because you would turn into that role.
Right. Well, again, most of the clients that I have in my private practice, because they're wealthy and because they live in Southern California, have been in some kind of therapy. Couples therapy, kid therapy, co-parenting therapy, or their own. So I can just say, this is a better conversation to have with your therapist. And they know that. Right. I mean, especially their therapist usually is less expensive too. But on It's Over Easy, we create this community so that they can actually hook up with other people going through it, find support groups, find blogs, find therapists. I mean, we have low-cost therapists that we refer to that, you know, again, it's out of our hands. Just here's a guide, here's a directory, call them. And this, I think, is a really important part of the divorce process because it does hurt. It is difficult.
It is. It just sounds like it's a whole more of a holistic approach, because otherwise you're just calling your friends, who did you use, and you're asking around. Like, I've had so many people say, going through divorce, like, who do I talk to? Who's the lawyer? And people always recommend it to you since I moved to LA. But I know they might not be able to have you, but now they can go on your site.
That's right.
Which makes sense. It's Over Easy. That's really smart. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we come back even more with Laura Wasser. So going back to social media for a second, I'm just curious about this. Do you think, because you've been doing it for 25 years, I think you're right that some of the same problems, people have always been cheating.
Right.
That's always been happening. But do you think that there's more so that people are like using it as evidence, or they're cheating more, or they're like, yes, do you have to be more careful? Are there certain, like, do you have any advice for people, like what they shouldn't be doing or what they should be doing?
Well,
online?
Okay. So we usually, at the beginning of every case, we send out a letter saying you must not erase or delete any of your drives or whatever else. Because a lot of that, and again, California is a no-fault state. So it's not about the cheating. It's about like moving the money. We need to see the footprint of where the money went. Usually we'd have people coming in with forensic accountants and huge boxes of documents. Now it's all online, but people will, you know, try to delete stuff or get rid of stuff. And I also think that people getting divorced don't realize what it is that's important and not important. I mean, I have so many people say, I need a good private investigator. And I'm like, why? I need to see if he's cheating. Why?
Right,
I mean, if you need to see for your own self, fine. But for me, I don't need to see because California is a no-fault state. So it makes no difference. I think a lot of people are really not very savvy when it comes to what they're doing. Or if you're having a big dispute about child support, oh, he really should be paying me more child support, and I know that he's, you know, able to. Well, how do you know that? Well, I'm on his Instagram page. He's driving a new car. He's in Cabo with his new blonde girlfriend.
Where they went now.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm on her Instagram page and she just bought new boobs. And she doesn't have any money. So it must have come. So he can't pay child support because he's doing this.
Right. So then what do you do with that?
well, then you can use that for evidence, you can, and you can say
that,
like,
it is evidence that sure, so smart. Like, you idiot.
Not the boobs necessarily.
You gotta get the boobs back, but right, though, that makes so much sense. I would think that that would be so much more incriminating evidence that you would not have seen in the past.
You let people into your life when you make it public, and so therefore you're open to that kind of examination.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so I always say, and what I believe to be true, is that the three main causes of divorce are typically, or arguments in a relationship, are sex and kids and money.
I think that makes sense. I think I actually read an article the other day that had like six of them, but those were the three of
them.
Okay,
so you see that, and would you, is there anything that you see, like, I know that you're not the therapist, but in sitting in there, that maybe this could have been resolved had they... I guess it's all about fucking therapy. Having therapy early on or communicating about it.
Getting good communication. And I always say this to couples, like, you should be doing therapy when you're getting along, when things are good, because that will help you get in a rhythm and establish. It's like going to the gym. You want to start going to the gym when you're healthy. Then if something happens, you get an injury, whatever, you know how to get back in there and get back into shape. It's the same with this. You learn those tools in therapy to communicate, and for sure with the sex and the money. One of the reasons people have issues with those two items is that they don't know how to talk about them. Now, I will tell you this, people are more likely to talk about sex than they are about money, particularly women. They will talk about sex. They do not want to talk about money, which I find so strange.
Yeah.
You need to talk about these things. This is your spouse.
Right. And they're like, and my mom's a financial planner. So she always says, like, sometimes the spouse will die. Like, the husband will die. Let's just say it's in these heteronormative relationships. And the wife has never looked at money, didn't know where it was, doesn't know what's happening. And so why do you think it is money?
Again, it's because that wife that you're talking about, that hypothetical wife, she was the princess. And so she was in the castle and she never had to worry about anything. And her prince would go out and shoot the deer and bring home the food and whatever it was. Come on. That is just not a good way
to be.
Open
your eyes.
You need to know. You can be a princess and still know what bank accounts are. You know, I have people that come in all the time. Sophisticated, gorgeous women. They have their personal shoppers at Neiman Marcus. They could have a reservation at any restaurant in town. They go to the shows in Paris. And I say, okay, so, you know, how much does your spouse make every year? No idea. How much the mortgage obligation, if any, on your home? No idea. And they say, I'm so embarrassed that I don't know any of this. I said, don't be embarrassed. It must be nice. It's just, it has to be nice. Really scary right now.
Yeah. So then what would be your advice then? Like, how do we have them just pull off the shield and say, I know you're afraid about walking into this money conversation, but it has to happen. It would save us so much.
It also, I feel, would keep people more together, because if you feel like you have a partner in these financial, you know, good times and bad times, okay? Because again, people go through good and bad. If you have a partner, this is the person whom you lay down to sleep with every night, who you are having intimate sexual relations with, hopefully, who you've raised children with, which are generally going to be the most important item in your life, kids, how to raise them, keeping them happy. Why wouldn't this be the person that you say, hey, we just had a huge windfall this year, or hey, I'm suffering. Like, I see so many people argue because she's spending too much and I'm really, really stressed out about it. Well, how is she supposed to know that she's spending too much if you haven't let her in on any of the secrets of what is being earned?
Right.
And it's community money. It's her money.
Right. Well, it could be so, obviously, because men feel like less of a, if we're talking about a man, less of a man, less masculine. When you make money, you almost feel like you're castrated. So just kind of say, honey, we got to curtail it here. And then it just becomes a whole mess.
But every relationship, as you know, is a deal. Every relationship, both people have things that they bring to the table. That will change in the course of relationships, but that's the relationship. So you see these stereotypical older, wealthy, Hollywood guy, not super attractive, young, trophy, they have a deal. That's the deal. And if she does put on 100 pounds or he does lose all his money, it's not saying it's going to end, but the deal changes.
It does change. So, okay, so what are some things that you've seen with people not getting divorced? I'm sure you have so many ideas about what are the things that people should just figure out about each other before they walk down the aisle. Like, what should we know?
Well, again, I don't believe that everyone should have a prenup, but I believe that everyone should have a prenup conversation. Now, there's certain things that you could actually contract about. You could
see, do you have that on It's Over Easy?
Yes.
Prenups?
No, we don't, because you need an attorney to have a prenup. But there is a company that we have an affiliation with called Prenupta, and they're on our Prenupta, and you can actually call Prenupta or go online and find Prenupta. They will help you draft the agreement, and then they'll give you an attorney who at a very low price can sign off on it. So now you've checked the box, you got your attorney.
Okay.
But when you get married, you are entering into a contract. You may not know the terms because you don't know what the law is in your state, which baffles my mind. Know the law in your state. But then the other thing, so you know that without a prenup, everything that you earn, or if you're a painter and you paint a painting after you're married, that painting is half your spouse's. If you earn money, any of those things, but for what you inherit or is gifted to you, that's going to be community property in a state like California. You also are going to be responsible for paying spousal support to that person so that they can live in the lifestyle to which they became accustomed during the marriage for a certain period of time, and child support. Okay, so now we know that. If you don't have a prenup, that's the rules. What other rules do you need to know? Hey, my parents are older and I never want to put them in assisted living, so they're probably going to live with us when they get older. Are you okay with that? Hey, it's really important that my kids go to private school. I don't want them going to public school. Are you okay with that? Hey, I want to make sure that you know that I'm probably not going to go back to work after I have kids. I just don't want to. I can't imagine being a working mom. I want to stay home. And again, it'll change. You may actually have kids and go, get me the fuck out of here. I got to get back to work. Having those conversations, those are things you should know. How much debt is there? People get married. When you have a prenup, you have to disclose everything so you know. People get married. 10 years in, you go, oh, by the way, I've been using my community money this whole time to pay down my law school debt. Nobody knew.
I never thought about a prenup in this way, but wait, it's like a truth teller, like a truth serum. Like you, if you all have to sit down with a prenup, you got to answer these questions, and it's almost like it should almost be required.
And I'm telling you that the prenups I've done, even the really difficult ones, those people have stayed together. They may not like what they're hearing, and it may take the bloom off the rose a little bit, but by the time they get married, they have some truths that I think help them throughout their marriage. There's not any huge surprises. Yeah. And there have been a couple where once you get into the weeds, they go, you know what? I don't like what I'm seeing here, and we're not going to get married.
Well, that's what I would think. I would think it would be that one next step. Like I just think it's way too easy to get married, too. Yeah. So why not have this prenup? Maybe we have to rebrand the name prenup, but just something about, because you know, like in certain religions, like there's a counselor, like in the church, that can sit down
absolutely.
And they have to go for 8 weeks. Like that should, there should be certain protocols that are required before you walk down the aisle. And I love the idea of just asking those tough questions about money, about, and I'm all about like sex too.
Yeah.
Having like things that you guys, you know, I'm kind of developing I have something on my site called a yes, no, maybe list, but we want to make it a little more sophisticated. But you could actually look at a bunch of different sex acts and see would you both be into spanking? How great, or no, or maybe, or kink. And
that's brilliant.
And then, and then you're like, okay, let's see where our yeses are and our maybes, rather than getting into a relationship and finding out that you just cannot on common ground with sex either.
Right.
So the money thing could be the prenup. The sex thing could be this yes, no, maybe, a little more advanced. But because even like, so with sex, do you ever find, I don't know if they get in this to you, have you ever found that there's something... like someone just got way into kink. Like got way into BDSM or something else. And they're like, this is not my jam.
Right.
I'm out.
Yeah. And that has been an issue. And then he or she goes elsewhere. Now that's a question. Can I put up with that? If I don't want to do this, but my spouse really does, and he or she is not having an emotional attachment, but you know, once a week they go to the dominatrix and that's really important and whatever. Sometimes they make it work.
I know a lot of couples who have made that work. And I feel like it's just getting past that fear, that this belief that we have that sex is supposed to be monogamous with one person for the rest of your life. Who is that really, really working for without a lot of struggle and a lot of effort? I mean, I think a lot of our listeners are like, oh my God, I was able to after 20 years. Now we got our sex life back. But for a lot of people, they won't get it back to where it was, but maybe it's okay to say once a week, my partner's going to go to dominatrix and I'm going to go get a massage or a happy ending. And it seems so crazy to people, but how much better is it to get your needs met and then you still can come home with your partner and
also,
have dinner?
Also, if you think about it, a lot of this comes from the forbiddenness of it. So if what it is, Esther Perel did a whole thing on like, when you're lying to your partner, there's something about it that like feels good to you or whatever. I said to my boyfriend very early on, because it's true, I don't care at all if you go to strip clubs. It doesn't like offend me or bother me. And I also don't care if you go and get a happy ending at any point. And he goes, you totally ruined it for me. I never want to do those things. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But again, if that's what it is, then that's a part of it too.
Yeah, it's exactly. I had a friend of mine who was getting married like, I was like 10 years ago, and he said to me, I'm freaking out because I know myself and I know I might be able to, someday I just might want to do something. I said, well, just tell her that you need a hall pass. That tell her to say to her, you know, I'm not saying right now, but at some point, maybe I'll be out of town or something's going to happen. And she said, yeah, she gave him the hall pass. And he was like so much, he was able to like get married to her. I don't know what's happened. Checked in with him lately, but it was like something.
Well, I need an end of the story. I need to know what happened.
Well, here's the thing. I should call him.
Yeah.
I should ask him. Call him right now. I'm thinking about it. But I think he has, no, I think I did run into him a few years ago and he's like, it's just been, and I did. He was visiting San Francisco. I was like, whatever happened? And because I used to live there. And he's like, yeah, I think he's done it when he's traveling or he's in Vegas, but she's cool. And it was an arrangement, which kind of the opposite of what you're saying. But he's like, you took it away from me.
Right.
But there's both sides that it goes.
Absolutely.
That's smart, though. I think that people, yeah, some people do just kind of find that sexy, that sort of titillating and the forbidden.
I have had a lot of clients come to me and one or the other is cheating outside of the marriage. And as soon as it's disclosed and the dissolution starts, they come back. They go, this wasn't fun anymore for me. I don't want to be with her. I want to be with you.
And then what happens, though? Can they get back together?
Sometimes they can. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes the person who the cheated on party is like, I just can't ever be with you again after that. And sometimes they're like, okay, good. It just depends.
And what about kids? How are we, can we go back to that for a minute when we're talking about like it's using it's over easy if they use your online platform. And you said that a lot of people are coming in now saying, I don't want my spouse ever to see my kid again, only on Wednesdays. Does it all break it down per state? Because now you just went nationwide with it.
Right.
So that's the kind of the big news because you said last year?
We started it in January of 2018.
18. And now already in a year, it's spread into every state has different laws around it.
And so the states don't have laws about custody, like, oh, it should only be 30% for dad or whatever. It's just, I think, a different subjective, what the trend is and what judges will do. We believe that countrywide, it is best for kids that they are exposed to both of their parents equally. Now, again, that may not work for some people. They may live in different counties and it may be too hard. You don't want the kid in the car 2 hours every day or whatever. And sometimes people live cross country from each other, so you can't do that. But we really do believe, and I do think that is the trend with mental health professionals and with family law judicial officers. It just takes a little longer to get to those places. So what we do, again, because we're more of a mediation website, is we give people the information, we say what could happen if you go to court, and then we show them calendars, particularly for their kids, because it's different. If you've got little kids, generally mental health professionals believe it's better for them to have more frequent and continuous contact. So do 2 days, 2 days, 3 days, or 2 days, 2 days, 5 days. Whereas older kids, they've got all this stuff and they're schlepping it back and forth. You could do week on, week off with older kids and maybe do a one night during the week to see the other parent. It depends what works best for the family.
It depends on the family, yeah. Well, what about when people have one home and they go back to the home?
Nesting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's called nesting, and it's usually bad for like a short term or a transition. Like you've got a family residence, that's your most valuable asset and you can't sell it just yet. So you get either one or two apartments or somebody stays with a friend or whatever and the kids stay in the house. And the kids, that's really good a lot of times for kids. If the parents, it's a huge inconvenience for the parents.
Huge. I have friends who've done it. I don't think it's worked very well.
It doesn't work for long term. I mean, I've read about couples, like there's a couple in Canada that has like two different like, you know, kind of add-ons, but the kids are in the house and they have doors and everything to this same house and it's worked for a long time. And I think they did a documentary. For the most part, it's a good transition and it shows the kids, we're all here. You don't have to be uprooted. You don't have to be moved. And now we're going to see how this works. Because imagine if you aren't the primary parent, if you're the parent that basically comes home from work each day at 5 or 6, has dinner, spends a little time with the kids, maybe gets up with them in the morning, but you're not the one that's scheduling the dental appointments, doing the play dates, you know, whatever. And so all of a sudden now you've got your separate residence, which is apartment, house, whatever, and you've got the kids all to yourself on these, like, it's a lot. So if you could swallow that smaller bite-sized pieces, you know, living in their same house where you actually know where the pasta is kept and whatever, then you could probably more easily transition out, and then that's better for your kids too.
Yeah. Since you are the celebrity divorce attorney, let's talk about celebrity divorces. Because we are seeing it being a little more amicable.
We're definitely seeing a trend with celebrities, really, whether it's true or not, putting on a great face and showing the rest of the world, starting with their children and working all the way out, that they are still going to be friends, that they are still going to co-parent. They can sometimes vacation together. They're not going to have a big, you know, war in court together. You're not going to read about this in the newspaper, except that, hey, hey, we really still love each other and we're family, blah. What that does for our culture is it trickles down. We all want to be like the celebrities.
Exactly.
So we're going to consciously uncouple, and we're going to, I think it was gently separate was another one of them. I mean, we're going to live by that example. And I think that's great for everybody. That's directly in line with what it is that I'm trying to do, which is be nicer to each other. Yeah. Be kind.
Your co-parent, it's true, because I still hear these stories nowadays, even from friends or people calling to the show. They're like, one of the parents is trashing the other parent to the kids, and that's just going to have a devastating impact on the kids. Luckily, right. My parents didn't do that. That was rare.
Yeah.
That was rare at the time. So now it's good to see that that's the celebrity divorces right. are actually...
Pretend you're that celebrity and fake it till you make it. Exactly. And eventually that you will start being like that.
Yeah, because you at one point you loved each other and you were family. So don't make it hell if you can do it. So it's over easy. I love this. It's such a great resource. So people can just go to itsovereasy.com. Even if they're thinking about divorce, or to see.
There's no commitment. You can play around on the site. You can give us your information if you'd like, but you don't have to. We are there to educate you and give you information. If you decide that you want to get divorced and you want to pay for the site and get divorced, it's $1,500. And again, we figured out in the United States, the average divorce costs $15,000. So if you figure you can get your entire divorce for $1,500, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And then we also have all these resources, which, yes, those guys might cost you more if you want to get the spray tan or you want to get the financial planning or the health insurance or whatever it is. We have moving companies. I mean, we have all kinds of great resources for people going through it. An amazing service, which is called Worthy, where you can sell your engagement ring online. We have, you know, partnerships with The Real Real so that you can get your closet cleaned out, sell some of that stuff, buy some new stuff to get back out there again. All of these things, all of these professionals and businesses we have on the index.
That's so smart, because they might have even thought about it. They're like, oh, that's a good way to get money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, no, I mean, I don't think there's anything else like this that I know of. It's very smart, Laura Wasser. I'm happy for you.
Thank
and
you.
Now you're doing the podcast. What have you learned on the podcast, or what have you enjoyed? It's been a year, right?
Yeah.
Totally different than being a lawyer.
It's totally different than being a lawyer. I love it, because the reason that I stayed being a family law attorney is I love the stories. And I also love kind of bringing people together and helping people. I like talking to people who are really excellent in their field and having them give me like the top five things that they would tell people, and people love sharing that information. So telling their stories and then telling their specialties and what they do, bringing people together, educating people about it. That's why I've been loving doing this podcast. And again, whether it's, you know, a celebrity that's willing to share his or her story about divorce or co-parenting or whatever else, or it's a professional that's willing to come out and go, look, this is what you really need to know before you file a divorce petition. You have to get these five financial documents in place and whatever, or somebody that says, this is how your kids are going to feel when you sit down and talk to them. Hey, there it is. It's all out there. It's free. Listen, tell us what you think. Yeah. That's been really cool for me.
Yeah, I think it is a great service, because it's something that we feel very alone and very shameful in many parts of this world. It just like seems like a horrible thing. So to listen to you having the light conversations, like, and some more serious, and then hearing how the celebrities did it, and I like the Chloe. I mean, she was like, yeah, we do. We co-parent. We do it. It all works out.
Yeah.
And then I want to go back to the narcissist one real quickly. What was interesting is you said on your podcast that like 5 years ago it was bipolar, and then before that I was psychopath.
Yes.
So do you think that that's just, because I do feel like narcissist is a buzzword now.
Right.
Now everyone's narcissist and crazy.
Everybody calls me and says, so here's what you really need to know. My spouse is a narcissist. And I'm like, oh, really? I mean, everybody says that. Now, again, sometimes really they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me if your spouse is a narcissist or not. You know, 5 years ago, I just would have called it an asshole.
Right.
Bipolar, asshole, psychopath, asshole, narcissist, asshole. That's what we're
not
dealing
easy
with.
To deal with.
That's
right. We're dealing with someone that could be difficult.
And
next,
we still want to figure out the best way to get you divorced with as little emotional and financial cost as possible.
You just have to keep bringing it back to the to the business. All right. Thank you so much, Laura. So Laura Wasser, you can check out your podcast.
Yes.
Divorce Sucks.
Yes.
Wherever you listen to podcasts. They can go to itsovereasy.com, get divorced really easy, or just find out if they should and the steps to take, and send it to your friends. Like, I feel like it's one of those things that probably also you developed it because you're like, I don't want everyone calling me and asking me all the questions all the time.
I just go to the website.
Like, seriously, just go to the website, which is really smart. So, okay. And I have five questions for you that we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
Very quickie questions. Okay. What is your biggest turn on?
Kindness.
Biggest turn off?
Cheapness.
How would you describe your relationship in three words?
Lots of laughs. Laughs. Laughs.
Good. I love it. One thing you would tell your younger self about sex.
Ooh. Keep it up.
Keep going. Keep doing it. Number one relationship tip.
Communicate. Even if it's not comfortable, communicate.
All right. Thank you, Laura. We can find you at we'll put this out at the top of the show too, but it's overeasy.com.
Laura Wasser Official is Insta. And the firm that I work with is Wasser Cooperman Mandel's Family Law in Century City. And yeah.
It's overeasy. Okay, and this will all be in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show, supporting the show, and subscribing wherever you listen and leaving us a review. And thanks for sharing it with a friend who might find this also interesting. And thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.